Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, welcome back to my podcast. My name's Lorena and this is The Pooch. Welcome to episode 23. Today I want to talk about returning to work after having a baby. It's been a little while for me because my daughter's now 2.5 and I went back to work when she was almost 12 months old. But for some people, this is a very recent experience or it's not even happened yet. So I thought, why not talk about what it feels like to return to work after having a baby from my perspective, from my experience. Maybe it might help someone put some fears aside, or maybe it might make you feel like you can relate in some way. First of all, I just want to say I am on zero sleep. Like, I don't know what's going on. Is there a sleep regression at almost 3 years of age? I didn't think that that was still something that I'd be dealing with my toddler, but she seems to be really struggling at night. She wakes up smack in the middle of the night, and then it's just 3 hours of her being awake, just chatting away, needing things, needing to use the toilet, wanting a tissue, feeling hot, feeling cold, wanting to talk about something. She asked me at like 2 a.m. last night how old I was and went through the whole family and just spoke about all our ages. And I was like, it's like, I love that you're fascinated by that, but I am being kicked left, right, and center from the inside out. I really need a bit of sleep. And so, yeah, so while my insomnia was settling, she was wide awake. And then while she was sleeping, my insomnia woke back up again. So I'm on no sleep. So let's just hope that what I'm going to share today makes a little bit of sense. So what it feels like to return to work after having a baby, my experience. So I took 12 months off work in Australia. I'm assuming most of the people listening are from Australia, but I know that there's a few that are not. You are allowed to take up to 12 months off work, or it's, you know, part of, you know, your work has to grant you 12 months off work, and then you can apply for an additional 12 months if you wish. And whether or not it's paid is employer specific. So the government pays you as well. Not, you know, 18 weeks, I think it is, or it's, I think it's gone up to 20 now, a wage, but your employer can choose whether or not to pay you leave. So I took 12 months off work, and obviously during that time, I spent 24/7 with a baby. I was living at my parents' place, so I was very, very fortunate that I had people around to step in when I needed some help. But obviously having a newborn and having a baby, especially mine who was super clingy and still is, is, you know, means that it was, that's how my time was consumed completely, you know, by having a baby. So it's not holiday leave, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I think before people have a baby, or, you know, when people think about parental leave, I imagined it as, you know, baby chinos and fun times at the beach. And I mean, there was the occasional, but it's not a holiday. It's absolutely hard work. And to be honest, in my opinion, it's harder than being at work because it doesn't, I mean, I've done an episode recently about default parenting, but the thing is that there's no clock on and clock off time. There's no breaks. there's no switching things up and you know, changing, I guess, the path of the day. It's like the same thing day after day from wake up to go to sleep, and that it's if you're lucky. So during that 12-month period for me where I was off work, I did find it hard at times. And to be completely honest, there were moments where I felt totally envious of people who had the freedom to just get themselves ready for the day and go spend it doing something that, you know, meant that they could use their brain. And obviously, I'm extremely lucky. Obviously, I have to acknowledge this because it would be unfair of me not to. There are people who have had to, for financial reasons, return to work, or depending on where you are and what your country's arrangements are, but have had to return to work much sooner than 12 months. And I can't imagine, you know, how challenging that would be, especially if you have a baby that's only a few months old. But at the same time, in my experience, I just felt like, you know, there were times where I would crave just this, get up early in the morning, get up at a set time, because that was the thing, like my day had no structure. So while that's good in a sense, because you kind of go into the baby's clock and, you know, the baby will wake up when they wake up and whatever, there's, for me personally, there's a nice thing about having a bit of structure to the day. So when I'm at work, you know, or when I was working before having my 12 months off, I'd get up at the same time every day. I'd have kind of like a routine in place. I knew that if I left my house at X time, I'd be at work by this time, enough time to grab myself a coffee. And like, you have that kind of flow to the day and that structure. Whereas, you know, being at home with a baby, that doesn't work that way. You know, I felt so out of control most of the time because, again, I'm just going to a baby's clock. So I did feel that envy of the people around me who had the freedom to get up at a time that worked for them, to get themselves ready for the day and go and have a sense of kind of contribution to a project or socialize, have conversations that were, you know, using adult brain, having autonomy and kind of free agency to run the day according to you. Like, that for me was something that I struggled with losing when I was on, you know, parental leave. Because that simple concept of, I mean, we all know, you know, when you're at home with a baby, taking the time to have a coffee or have breakfast or go to the toilet or have a shower, they're all, in my case, and I know for many people, impossible. And even though, like I said, I had my parents there, so I had people to help me and I was extremely lucky, I'm not going to go and have a nice, sweet, long shower while my parents are, you know, trying to manage a crying newborn. Like, that's just not in my nature. So I also, I can't take advantage of the people that are helping around me. So I still was very much tired and had that kind of sense that I didn't have that freedom at all. So I returned to work for two reasons, mainly financial. Obviously, living in Australia is very hard to just be living off one wage. But also because I needed a bit of balance in my life. And I think by the age of almost 12 months, it was a pretty good time to work with my daughter and the people around us to be able to do that. So while I felt like, you know, a 12-month time off work was a decent amount of time, when I was the lead up to me returning to work, I was absolutely petrified. I put a couple of question box up on the Pooch Instagram. If you're not following me, come and follow and we'll chat more, you know, mum life things on there. But yeah, it was just those feelings of returning to work, and I became completely anxious about leaving her, and it was almost like this big era in my life was coming to an end. I don't know if that makes sense to anyone else, because obviously, you know, life goes on and your baby's still in your life. But when I had weeks left or days left where I was like, you know, in no time I'll be back at work. And that's that I returned to work 3 days a week. Like, I didn't return full time. I don't have the arrangements, the care arrangements to be able to return to work full time. But even still, I was like, our days together are numbered, and it just felt like this entire era was coming to an end. And in hindsight, that those feelings were a little bit, you know, dramatic, a bit overkill, because I do have many days still where it's just her and I throughout the week. We still kind of do the same flow of how we did things before, but in the moment it just was like, oh my gosh, life is coming to a total standstill when I go back to work. So at first I was really lucky. She was looked after exclusively by grandparents. So I didn't have to rely on childcare, you know, when she was as young as 12 months. And I, again, you know, if that's something that you've had to do, some people love that and I think that's great. But I can imagine if it was something that you had to do and you didn't feel like you had an option, how complicated that would be and how hard that would have been for you. Because I did it, I put her in childcare when she was 12 months. Oh, no, not sorry, 12 months. She was two. She turned two and then I put her into childcare 2 days a week. And that was soul crushing for me. Soul, absolutely soul crushing. But yeah, like I said, she was looked after grandparents for the first like 12 months, exclusively by grandparents. But during that time, lockdown number two hit in Australia. So little did I expect it, obviously. So I had to end up working from home and look after her at the same time. And that's probably been the hardest stage of my life, even with the help from my parents, even with, you know, the support that I was getting, because it doesn't really matter how many hands are there to help. If I am in the same environment as she's in, it is very, very hard for anyone to fully take over. Very, very hard. Now that she's getting older, things have changed and she's actually preferring other people at times to me. But that has taken 2.5 years. I'm talking, you know, this is, you know, a 12 and a bit month old who knew that I was in the next room having a meeting and people, my parents would be trying to entertain her. And it was so, so, so hard, highly stressful. My working days were so frustrating for me. I felt like completely out of control. And, you know, I am insanely grateful for the amount of help that I got. I wouldn't be able to function, honestly, without my parents. But still, it was such a hard time. And it would have been a very hard time for them as well, because she has never been a great sleeper. So naps were not something we could rely on. You know, they were trying to entertain her while she was crying out for me, and knowing that I was in the next room makes it really, really hard. So that lockdown, working from home, anyone who has a COVID baby and had that experience of returning, and I know lots of people did, I know lots of my colleagues, we'd be on Zoom calls and you'd see babies in the videos and like all that kind of stuff. So I know I'm not the only one. But it's, I found it personally one of the most challenging things. And while there's kind of this idea that you've got this luxury of being able to work from home and look after your kid and see your kid, it is so different when you can't have that kind of breakup between work and home, especially when you're literally doing both things at the same time. So for me, for the way that my brain functions, the way that I need, you know, to gain a bit of peace, to not be able to divide those two things and to literally be trying to focus at the same time as I've got a baby crying for me is absolutely insanely overwhelming. But let me go back, because I haven't really covered actually the first day returning to work. I remember it so clearly. It felt like I was like a new kid in school. And I don't know if anyone can identify with this, but I was absolutely, absolutely overwhelmed. Like, knowing that I was going back into a work environment with a completely different, I was a completely different person. And the biggest thing for me was, well, a couple of things. I looked very different, and it's not all about looks, but I did look very different, you know, to how I did before. But the most important thing for me was that my brain was absolutely not functioning. It was like I was on a trip for a year. And then I was trying to apply logical thinking to life after just being completely out of it for a year. Like, I just, it was so overwhelming for me. So the morning of, you know, even just dressing myself for the day, I hadn't literally dressed properly for anything in so long. Keep in mind, again, that in my case, I had a baby. Then we went through lockdowns. There was no events, nothing fun. I didn't have any reason to have any decent clothes in my wardrobe. Obviously, it was just like this whole concept of like, I have no idea how to dress. Nothing fits me. And let alone in a professional environment, I felt so awkward and I felt so, you know, just so frumpy and gross. I don't know. But anyway, I got to work that day super early and I don't know if that helped, but I sat in the car for so long getting so worked up and I almost like went home because I was just like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Firstly, because I was nervous about being there. But also I had not spent much time without my daughter. I had never really left her for more than an hour or two, maybe to go down to the shops. I think I got like one haircut in that time. And I was really nervous and I'd run straight back home. And like, so knowing that I was going to be away from her for a full day was a lot, was a very, very big deal. One thing that was really strange for me, because I was going back to the same workplace as before I had had my baby, it to me felt so much more daunting than actually going to a brand new job, because I felt like I was a completely different person. You know, it's okay to feel, or it makes sense to feel clueless in a new environment, right? It makes sense to feel oblivious or completely lost and be super dependent on your colleagues when you're brand new. But when you're not brand new and when you've been there for a very long time like I have, you know, feeling like you would be seen as someone who you used to be, but then let people down because I was a completely different person. My brain wasn't working the way that it was at all. Like, I don't know. For me, baby brain hit hard and it still has an effect on me to this day. But I know, especially then, like now things have changed a lot for me. But right then and there, I was like, oh my gosh, what am I actually doing here? I felt like I said, a different person. But I knew that I would be seen as the same person returning. And I felt like I'd be this massive disappointment. So it was just such a daunting thing to go back into the same place as I was before I had my baby.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One thing that was interesting and I guess awkward for me, I don't know how to explain it, but because everyone was also working from home a lot, I mean, this is just post the first lockdown, there were still, you know, workplaces were kind of saying only come in if you need to. And in fact, I'm fortunate enough that my workplace is very flexible now as a result of COVID, that there's, you know, people are still working from home all the time. But I expected kind of this instant reconnection with everyone at work. And then I felt like, because I only work part-time where everyone works full-time and I had come from working full-time, I felt instantly out of the loop. But then I worked out that kind of everyone was feeling a little out of the loop simply because there is so much, you know, of that time working spent from working from home for everyone, not just me. But I kind of felt like it was a unique experience to me because I was only there part-time. I was also, I think I was a little bit, I don't know if envious is the right word, but let's just use it. I was envious of connections that newer people were able to make and really easily. So people that had started in my workplace since I left. So, you know, there's a 12-month gap. There's heaps of new people that have joined. They are all so comfortable and so connected with the people around them. They've got this great sense of belonging, which they should. It's amazing. But I felt, you know, it kind of, I felt like it had a reflection on me because I was like, hang on a minute, I've been here longer than most people. I've just stepped out for a little bit and here I am feeling totally out of touch. And I just didn't have those connections anymore. And I kind of didn't know how to involve myself in things voluntarily. I didn't feel like I had much to talk about. I thought I was also very boring. How do I explain this? I guess, you know, in my work environment, there's people of all ages, but I used to, over lunch, I'd probably connect with, you know, some of the younger generations in the workplace. But now I've come back as a mum and I'm having totally different conversations, but I don't know if what I've got to say is boring to other people. And I feel like it's because I used to find those discussions boring, if I'm totally honest. When I would sit around and hear a bunch of parents talking about kid things, I'd be like, yeah, you think they're cute because they're your kid. Or, you know, you think like we're all interested in how you're struggling to sleep. And so when I'm in that position where that's literally all I've got to talk about because I haven't done anything else for the last 12 months, it was very, very awkward for me to voluntarily kind of sit down with people and have lunch. I thought I was boring, like I said, and I didn't really have much to talk about. So it was just like this real disconnect, I feel like, for quite a period of time. Partly because I was also so limited in my vocabulary. I know that sounds absolutely crazy, but if you know, you know. Like if you literally have had baby brain, it's one of the biggest things for me is that my vocabulary felt like, especially at that point in time when I had come off 12 months of being with just a baby, my vocabulary felt like it had literally been cut in half. I was using such simple language compared to what I was before. And so combine that with feeling like you've got nothing to talk about and you're really boring and uninteresting. It's a very, very strange thing. And so I felt really out of touch. Another thing that I found really difficult was that I'm not a person that likes special treatment. I don't like to take the piss if people recognize that I'm struggling because of my circumstances, and I'm really lucky to have a really supportive workplace. I also am super conscious of the fact that I don't want to be treated, you know, differently to everyone else, but still reap the same rewards. So in one sense, I didn't want to be treated differently, but on the other sense, like I kind of needed to be understood. So for example, I was still breastfeeding, so I was pumping while I was at work. That's already an awkward thing in itself. It's great to have an employer that supports you and, you know, obviously if they don't, you've got a problem because they really absolutely should. But it is still an awkward thing to do, you know, to walk, in my case, through an office, you know, carrying a pump, sitting in a private room, you know, extracting milk. Like it just, anyway, and also being given, I guess, the freedom to take that time whenever I needed to, felt a little bit like the special treatment that I didn't want people, I didn't want people looking at me like, you know, oh, she's back at work, but she's not fully in it. You know, she's taking breaks when we don't get those breaks and that kind of special treatment. From a bit more of like a, you know, professional standpoint, in terms of the projects that I was involved with, even, you know, attending a simple meeting to have a discussion about certain things, I felt like I had quite little to offer. baby brain in a work environment is so all consuming. Like, it is just such a position where I, like, self-doubt would take over me constantly, and I would feel like I used to be somebody, and I think I'm coming back to that now, but I used to be somebody who I felt I was able to come up with initiatives or innovative solutions to things, and you know, I'm quite a creative thinker normally, so I feel like that's something that is part of, you know, I shine when I've got opportunities to come up with like great solutions to stuff. And when I'm sitting there drawing blanks and really literally just attending a meeting and just my presence is there, but I don't feel like I'm bringing much to the table, it is such a, and I just felt like I had so little to offer. So it just, I felt like I was letting people down. Another thing is that it took me a while to adjust to some new freedoms too. So it was a bit awkward for me because I felt like I was still in, you know, stay at home mode, in the sense that I didn't acknowledge some of the freedoms that I have. So for example, I would absolutely chow down my lunch at my desk. No reason. Everyone in my workplace, or most people in my workplace, when they can afford to, will stop and eat lunch with peers. But I guess partly because I felt like I had nothing to talk about and I was really boring, but also partly because I was just so used to eating on the go and not really allowing myself that time to stop and enjoy my food, I would absolutely smash my lunch. And even when I would every now and then stop and eat with other people, a few people actually pointed that out. Like, they were like, slow down. Like, you're literally wolfing it down. There is no need. I also would feel slack if I would take breaks. Like, if I would stop and actually eat with people, or, you know, every now and then go for a walk around the block because I needed to move, I would feel really slack to do that, even though that's kind of common practice in my workplace, because I felt, again, like I didn't want to take the piss. I'm already given the permission to go off and pump. Should I then stop and eat lunch? Should I then, like, it just feels, and that could just be a me thing. That's very possible, because I tend to overthink things in that way. But it was something that I, you know, obviously didn't help me connect with people, didn't help me, you know, socialize or build those human connections, because I was constantly concerned about making sure that I was not taking the piss, but also not adjusting to the freedom that I have, you know, while I'm in the workplace. Also, I guess suddenly, you know, before I had a baby, I was so capable of joining in on the social aspects of work, which to me have always been so important. Like, I'm the type of person that if there's a social function tied to work, you know, whether it's a Christmas lunch or something that happens, you know, on a Friday night, I am so all about those moments, because to me that's when you get to really know your colleagues and build a connection with them. That's when people become human in my eyes. You know, they kind of drop their workplace, you know, not professionalism as such, but they bring more of themselves to those occasions. So I used to be all about that, and then suddenly my work day has a set time, because I have to leave at the end at a very set time to be home in time for my daughter and go back to baby mode. That was really hard for me to adjust to. So I, on top of the fact that I was struggling to connect with people, I found it almost impossible to join in on social aspects of work. And even if I had people offering, like my parents and you know, would always offer to look after her if I had something on, I also felt that complete guilt that I've spent already so many hours away from her, I'm not going to add on another 3-4 hours while I go and, you know, have some work drinks. Like, that to me just, and even to this day I really struggle with that, because I'm like, the day's already long enough, I need to get back to my parenting. Like, I need to get back to being with her, because, you know, it's something that it's my responsibility, and I just feel so awkward about it. And that's something that I hope that I can shake, because man, I'm about to be on baby number two, and I really need those moments in my life. I really, really do. So something that was really interesting for me was that I expected it, because I know that that's how life is meant to be, but work and parenting comes with such a new level of chaos so that life can function. Like, when, like I said, you know, I was saying before, the 12 months that I have had of parental leave were unstructured. So I would get up when I had to, sometimes at 5, sometimes I would be lucky enough to get up at 7. Not likely, but you know, there was a little bit of little structure to it. I would have a shower when I could squeeze one in. And sometimes not even, you know, I would eat on the run. I'd stand in the kitchen and eat, or, you know, I would eat at like my first meal at like 11 o'clock. That's what my life was like before coming to work. Work gave me the freedom to allow a bit of structure back in my life. But then again, I have to still kind of coordinate all these things that are so chaotic. And now, so now I have a 2.5-year-old who 2 days a week I take her to childcare so I can work. And then the other day, the third day that I work, my parents are with her. And on those 3 days, I have to somehow fit structure into something that is really, really hard to manage. So how do I, you know, for example, making sure that breakfast is eaten by a certain time. I have to, or I always have to work back. Breakfast has to be eaten by a certain time so she can be changed and ready. And, you know, and I also have to get myself ready and myself sorted. I end up, you know, bringing my makeup with me, and I'm not very organized with my lunches, which I wish I would be. But that chaos to me that now has to fit into more of a coordinated life, it's something that I, you know, back in the day, it was like sort myself out and then walk out the door. Then I went through this whole period of complete chaos, and now I have to marry those two, structure and chaos. And I find that really, really hard. So it's funny because every now and then I get it sorted. Like this day went smoothly. She was up at a good time. She had her breakfast. You know, I got her ready and sorted for the day. My husband and I managed to coordinate a really good morning. I managed to get to work on time, and I love to get to work a little bit early because then it can buy me some time to grab a coffee or just get my head on straight. And I managed to do that. And then what happens is I'm just reminded, you know, once I've achieved that, it feels like such a big achievement these days, but I'm just reminded that tomorrow is a new day. So I have to, the feelings of having my shit together are so temporary. I just realized that tomorrow I have to do it all again. So I am shit scared. If you've got older kids, I am so excited to hear from you, because I am absolutely shit scared about when school starts, you know, when it's a 5-day thing of trying to structure mornings and, man, having to make lunches. Like that's something I haven't had to worry about now, because in Australia, childcare includes that, which is why it's so bloody expensive. I need to get my shit together by the time she's in school so that I can be organized and she can have lunch too, and preferably something healthy if possible. So something that I just want to say, I guess this is my little wisdom nugget, whatever you want to call it, passing, you know, paying it forward, is that if you haven't returned to work yet and you plan to, I know it's fucking scary. I know it's the scariest thing I've ever had to experience, or the hardest thing I've ever had to experience. But if it gives you any reassurance, after all these intense feelings go away, because they will, because life moves on and you start to become familiar with things all over again, I have gained, just in time to go on maternity leave all over again, I have gained a little sense of my own self, my old self. And I've had opportunities to work on things that fuel my passions. I'm very passionate about what I do. And even though I have felt useless and, you know, baby brain has taken over my life, there are moments where I can really feel myself getting excited about something to do with my passion. So it kind of has helped me regain a little sense of purpose. Not to say, let's just clarify, not to say that being a mum is not a huge part of my sense of purpose, but it's not my entire self. I've spoken on many episodes about identity, and for me, mum life is not all of me. I'm so proud to be the mum of my incredible creature. She's such a shifty little thing. But it's not all of me. And so being able to return to work for me personally has kind of given me that taste of my old self. And even though it was petrifying to return to work, it does get better. It does get better. I promise it gets better. You know, at times it allows me to have a little bit of me time, and I feel like I just need to use it better. There's times where I don't think to use it better. I'm driving to work thinking about how I need to structure her week or any appointments and stuff. And I need to be conscious of the fact that I need to learn to switch off the moment I get in the car. But it also has kind of bought me a bit more quality time with her. So when I am back from work, I switch off from work mode and I'm really excited to hear about her day, and everything else comes second. Like, I'm literally so in the moment with her that those pockets of quality time didn't happen as much when I was on parental leave, because I was always multitasking. So it's a little bit of, you know, gold on both sides, I guess. And that, I hope, is something that you experience if you do plan to return to work. Obviously, I respect your choices. If you're not going to return to work, or you're going to take more time off, I don't know what my future is going to be like. I don't know work-wise what my future is going to be like. I don't know what my circumstances are going to be after I have another baby. I do plan to return to work, but I respect people who don't. I respect people who say, you know, from the moment I have a kid, my time is going to be spent dedicated to them from either this point on, or from, you know, now until they go to school or whatever. And I know people who've done that, and it's like the best decision that they could have made for themselves. I think that's awesome. And like I said, let's talk in 12 months time or more, when I'm having to go through the same process of returning to work after I've got a second kid. But I just wanted to put this out there because I want to know that your feelings, if you had a crazy time returning to work and you were stuck, your feelings are so not just you. It's so overwhelming and so intense. But I also wanted to put it out there to let those people know who are scared to go back, or who are, you know, going back to work is around the corner for you. I promise you it will get easier and less daunting and overwhelming. I just wanted to give you that. So as usual, I am here to remind you to trust your gut, be kind to your pooch, have a good one, and if work is around the corner for you, maybe you're starting in 2023, just lap up these moments, but just remember that shit's not coming to an end. You're still going to be a mom. You're still going to have these special times in your life. And if you're nervous about returning to work, you know, let's catch up for a drink at the pub after I've had this baby. I will see you on the next episode. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.